Hey everybody, it's Marcus here with Good E-Reader, and today we're going to give you some exclusive IFA coverage. For those of you who are not familiar with IFA, it's probably one of the leading, if not the leading, computer and technology conference in Europe, and it happens every year in Berlin, Germany. Now, a lot of new tablet PCs have been announced. At Good E-Reader, as you probably know if you're an avid follower of our tech blog, is that we mainly cover e-readers, slate and tablet PCs, digital publishing, e-books, and so we're pretty well going to focus on just the e-reader and tablet PCs that have been debuted here thus far. Although, at IFA there's a lot of 3D television. It's pretty well one of the largest aspects of the conference. And if you want to get your fix on all things 3D TV, you can check out one of our sister sites at good3dtv.com. And it has all the latest information on 3D televisions, if that's your bag. Now, a few things have been announced, and we're pretty well going to cover them from the most important all the way down. There's pretty well both three or four tablets we're going to get into today, as well as some nice software that's coming out. So to set things off, the Samsung Galaxy Tab. Pretty well for the last month on our blog, Michael Sobey and a few other writers on our tech forum have been following the Samsung Galaxy Tab. It's pretty well real good competition to all the existing tablets on the marketplace. Not that there's really too many that are at the top and worth your investment dollars. Arcos makes some tablets, the Juju tablet. There's a lot of tablet PCs in the marketplace, especially things like the Augen Gen Touch. Some of them are worth your money, and in some cases, some aren't worth your money. The Samsung Galaxy Tab looks to be like a sound investment if you're looking again inside the tablet PC segment. So you're looking at, first of all, it's about 7 inches. It runs Google Android Froyo 2.2. So it has multi-touch. You can swipe it between horizontal and landscape mode. It has a 1 GHz Cortex A8 chip inside of it. You have about 512 megabytes of internal RAM. It does Bluetooth, Wi-Fi. It supports a lot of different markets. Samsung is basically going to be releasing this all over Europe, all over North America, all in Asia, so it supports all of the local bands that you need in order to hook it up with Wi-Fi basically anywhere in the world. You can upgrade the memory to 16 or 32 gigabits with an internal SD slot. You're looking at about 7 hours of battery life. Now, it's a it's not as large as some of the 10-inch plus tablets that we've looked at. It has a resolution of 1024 by 600, and the screen is TFT touch, which means that it's backlit, and the screen itself is pretty robust. It's not like the Gorilla screen stuff that you see with, say, the Dell Streak, but TFT is certainly becoming one of the leading screen technologies that a lot of the e-readers are going for that have backlits and display full color. With this device, you'll be able to use Flash 10.1, which is the new version of it, and it has complete compatibility with HTML5. Now, let's talk applications, because with tablet PCs, having a really good network to tap into to get all sorts of applications is super important. We mentioned Augen Gen Touch a little bit earlier. This device has no access to the Google Android market. Now, this one does, the Galaxy Tab does. You have full access to the Android market. Samsung has partnered with Kobo, which we'll get into after this story, about new applications they developed called the Reader's Hub, the Music Hub, and the Media Hub, and this is stuff that Samsung has set up in order to deliver content in a more profound and robust manner. We'll get into the semantics of all those things right after this, but content distribution networks are really important. Not only do you have access to the Android market, which has thousands and thousands of apps, but you also get access to companies that Samsung has partnered with in order to deliver content to the end user. And this is pretty important for the success of any tablet PC. Now, there's really no definitive price yet on this. At the conference, one of the executives that were doing the Q&A, his name's DJ Lee, his business model basically said that they're trying to go through global telephone operators to help get reduced costs on the device, as well as partnering up so you can perhaps get it at a cheaper cost, or at the very least help subsidize the final cost of the device. So no really word on Samsung is going to be able to sell this directly, or whether they'll have third-party operators doing the commercial retail. For this story and all sorts of pictures that we took, you can check out our blog. You can simply type in goodyreader.com/blog/IFA, and you can get all of our IFA stories, pictures of the events, and tons of pictures on devices such as the Samsung Galaxy Tab. Now, we mentioned that Kobo and Samsung have partnered up for a little device called the Reader's Hub. Now, Kobo has been talking with the staff here at Goody Reader, giving us the heads up on exactly how this all works. So, it's basically Kobo and Samsung worked on this in total conjunction and partnership. The new application was specifically designed for the Samsung Galaxy Tab, and it's been worked from the total ground up. Now, they're basically billing this application as a hub to get the entire Kobo back catalog, as well as all the new current books. You can pretty well get access to about 2.2 million popular ebooks. The formats that are available are EPUB, PDF, and Adobe DRM. So if you have any type of books that you've purchased through other vendors that have DRAM in it, you'll be able to read it in this device. You'll be able to add ebooks that you downloaded from other sources completely and fluidly. The new application will allow you to tap, swipe, to turn the pages, and it'll have an interactive table of contents to flip to specific chapters. You also have the ability to customize all of your fonts, all of different kinds of fonts. So if you want to read books in Times New Roman or other popular fonts, you can definitely do that. And they really want you to have a heavy customizable e-reading experience. Now, the Samsung Galaxy Tab does have a built-in accelerometer, which we said that it'll flip it between landscape and horizontal mode, and so you can do your book reading like that as well. If you are an international user, so if you, say, don't live in North America, but you live in Asia, other markets such as Germany, you'll be able to get all of your books delivered to you in all sorts of different localized languages. So that's super important. A lot of ebooks just sell it in English language and that's it, whereas you'll have the chance to be able to convert your ebooks to other linguistical formats. Now, this is really good that Kobo is partnering with Samsung for the Galaxy Tab, and there are rumors that this new program will be able to be used on all sorts of Samsung devices, from their emerging lines of smartphones to subsequent follow-ups to the Samsung Galaxy Tab. They'll probably do a little bit of tweaking here and there, but the Reader's Hub for the Samsung Galaxy Tab, specifically designed by Kobo, and we have a lot of pictures of it on our forum, as well as a press release that Kobo has generously sent us, so we have that up for sure. And again, with the Kobo Reader Hub and the software, we were actually the first company to break the story on that, and so we're pretty happy with the fact that we were able to explain it in more detail other than just to tell you that it exists. Now, ViewSonic has debuted a 10-inch tablet. Now, kind of a larger screen. The Galaxy Tab was 7 inches. This is a 10-inch one. It'll dual boot both Windows 7 and Android. So this is a really good selling feature. There's a lot of people who have Android smartphones that are just used to the way that Android works, and you have all your favorite apps, whereas if you're a primarily Windows user and you rely on things, say, like Microsoft Outlook, Word, and things like that, you'll be able to dual boot it in Windows 7. So this is one of the few tablets that actually allow you to dual boot without doing a whole lot of rooting and customization that really is only reserved for about 5% of the total users that really nerd out and try to, you know, hack their device any way that they can. Now, let's talk hardware for the ViewSonic tablet that's coming out. You're looking at an Intel Atom N455 processor. You'll have 1 GB of RAM, which most tablets do 512, so this is a pleasant change of pace. You'll also have 16 GB that you can upgrade to as well for hard drive space. It has a capacitive touchscreen, a 16.9 wide aspect ratio, and it'll do 1024 by 600, which means that you'll pretty well be able to get full HD on this device. Now, pretty well, the Android version that they're using in this dual booting platform is only 1.6, and that's getting pretty well aged with use. A lot of the new tablets coming out are all being done with either 2.1 or 2.2 for Google Android, so there's really no comment from the ViewSonic camp on when they're going to be doing it to more updated versions, or whether they're going to just wait and update it to Android 3.0. The quality of the display really leaves a lot to be desired for. The case itself looks kind of plastically and flimsy, although the screen is really nice. And yeah, I mean, this isn't one of the greatest tablets that we've really looked at. ViewSonic's a big name company, so they might be able to hustle out a lot of these units through their partners, their retail supply chains, and so on. So you might see this device at a lot of places, but it really doesn't look like the be-all, end-all of devices. It certainly looks a lot better than, say, the Augen Gen Touch and other subpar tablet PCs, even some of the lower-end Arcos tablets. This really, you know, makes it look pretty good. The fact that it dual boots, and if you just wanted to use it purely in a Windows environment, is good. The fact that you have 1 GB of RAM is also good. Although, like we said, the case leaves a lot to be desired for. If you want to take a look again at about 10 or 11 pictures we have of this device that we took, you can check out our blog at goodyreader.com/blog/IFA. Some other news on the Samsung Galaxy Tab that we just basically gave you a review for. It's actually available for pre-orders right now if you live in Europe. It's retailing for 679 euros, which means in North American dollars, you're pretty well looking at almost about $900+ for this. They say that the availability for it will be Monday, October 11th. So if you live in Europe, you're not going to have to really wait too long for this device. So if you're into Samsung, you know that you can pretty well order right now. And if it's going to be in Europe soon and you can't wait to get your hands on it, if you live in North America, I'm sure that gray market sellers will be selling this device via eBay and other major markets like that. One of the other biggest name devices that we want to get into before we play a little song here is the Toshiba Folio 100. You can see sort of the trend that we've gone on so far. Is there's a lot of tablets at this event. There's little really released in the realm of e-readers. So we do have a few e-readers that we're going to talk about after the break. But as far as the Toshiba Folio goes, it looks like a really nice device. It comes with Google Android 2.1, although many people are misreporting that it comes with Android 2.2 out of the box. As far as hardware goes, it's 10.1 inches, same resolution as some of the other tablets we've covered, 1024 by 600, built-in accelerometer, Wi-Fi for surfing the internet, SD card to increase the RAM. It has about 7 hours of constant playback for movies, surfing the web. And Toshiba has announced that 3G support will be available for it soon. So there's Bluetooth on this device as well, so which means that you can use Skype and you know, telephony apps like that. It also has an HDMI, USB port, and built-in speakers. Now, the one neat thing about the Toshiba Folio is that it's doing a perfect blend of mixing its own own proprietary software with third-party apps, such as reaching the Android market. Each device comes preloaded with the Opera browser, Toshiba Media Player, an e-reader called the FB Reader. You have a program called Firing for video calls. You also have documents to go in Evernote. So it's good to see that more companies just aren't relying on the Google Marketplace to basically fill all the content on the device. We cover a hell of a lot of tablets, and most of them pretty well come out of the box with no apps on it, and it relies on you yourself to find all the apps that you want in the Google Android Marketplace. So it is definitely refreshing to see major companies like Samsung, Toshiba, who are developing these apps, that they do release their own third-party software and first-party software in order to really deliver content in a unique manner. And if you're a loyal Toshiba, say, user, it's going to be nice for you to be able to use all your favorite type of apps that they make. Now, the Folio 100 Wi-Fi will be available in Europe in around November for about 429 euros. The Folio 100 3G drops in about quarter one 2011 for 529 euros. There's really no word yet on North American release dates, but generally what they do is they release it in Europe for about 2 or 3 months, then they bring it stateside for us to get our hands on it. So again, if you want to check out any pictures that we took of the event and of the Toshiba Folio, definitely check out our blog on that. So we're just going to play a little song and we'll get back into things. Okay, and so we're back with the Good E-Reader Radio Show, and again, my name is Marcus, and so far we've been talking about IFA in Germany, in Berlin, and the maelstrom of tablets that we've basically been seeing. One of the few pleasant surprises that we've seen here, as far as electronic readers go, is the new Acer LumaRead. Now, we've been tracking this pretty well since Computex. When they first showed it off there in a glass case, they really wouldn't let anybody get their hands on it. This time, go around, device looks really polished. They're letting a lot of users have hands-on experience for it. You have a really nice 6-inch screen with a full Kindle-type keyboard. So you can definitely write letters. You can do annotations. You can write little notes for yourself. When you're reading electronic books or ebooks, you're looking for a display at about 800 by 600 pixels. You'll have a USB port, Wi-Fi, 2 gigabits of internal storage, which is good enough pretty well for about 1500 ebooks. It also has a micro SD card slot, so you can expand it up to all the way to about 32 gigabytes. Now, it also has one of the neat little things. It has an ISBN scanner. So if you have a book that you have, you can scan the ISBN number in a book. So if you're in a store with this device, or if you want to get the ebook version of a book your friend has, a book that someone's told you about, and so on, even online when you're looking at ISBN numbers on the internet, you can simply scan ISBN number with your Acer, and you can directly get purchasing information to get the book. Now, it wears very light, so holding this thing with just one hand is very easy. It weighs only 250 grams, so it feels like really one of the lightest e-readers around. You're looking for prices about 199 euros for the Wi-Fi only, and you're looking for the 3G version, which is about 249 euros. It ships this November, although this is a really quality e-reader. One wonders if they can really get away with this price point, considering that the Barnes & Noble Nook, their solid Nook e-reader, has recently come down in price from $259 to $190. Amazon also lowered its price from entry level, you know, around $250 all the way to $180. And both Barnes & Noble and Amazon just released Wi-Fi only versions that you can pretty well pick up for less than $150. So if the Acer, or if you're looking for the LumaRead from Acer, having this price close to about, in American dollars, you're looking at about almost $300 for a 6-inch e-reader, whereas Sony, Barnes & Noble, Amazon all really cut prices drastically on their entry-level e-readers all the way up to their mid-range e-readers, where really you're not going to have to pay over $200 anymore to get it. So perhaps the Acer LumaRead will do well better internationally, say in Europe or in markets like Germany, where Acer has partnered with some German ebook stores called libri.de, and they'll handle the content distribution. So say if you live in Germany, you can deal directly with a company that Acer has formed a relationship with, where not only can you get ebooks, but you can also get audiobooks, school textbooks, you can download music for your device, and so on. You can pretty well get them all in EPUB formats. So one has to wonder that, we know internationally, like if you live in Europe and if you live in a lot of other countries, you can't easily get your hands on a Kindle or a Nook because they just aren't sold in stores. It's more of a North American thing. Although Amazon earlier on last month opened a UK store, so you can buy ebooks, you can buy Kindles in the UK. So I mean, that's good news that they're starting to get more market penetration in Europe, but for the rest of the world, including Australia, New Zealand, a lot of parts in Asia, that it's really hard to get your hands on quality e-readers that people in North America enjoy. We have in North America an unbridled selection in the type of e-readers that you want. So you can go with the top four big name companies, but there's also a slew of other e-readers out there. There's anywhere between 10 to 20 that you can easily get your hands on from Aztec, the e-readers there. You can get your hands on the Skiff e-reader. You can get your hands on the Spring Design Alex, the Texter e-reader, the iRiver Story, the Allure Tech, the Pan Digital Novel. There's a ton of e-readers from iRex to Jetbook and Elonix, the Cybook from Bokeen, even the Cooler e-readers, which the company's pretty well done for, but you can still get their e-readers anyways, as well as B-Book and all sorts of e-readers. In North America, we're pretty spoiled with the selection that we have, where we don't really take into consideration where the rest of the world really doesn't have access to the amount of e-readers as we have here, both sold in retail stores, such as you can go to Target, or you can go to a Staples and buy a Kindle there now. If you go to a Best Buy, you can find a Barnes & Noble Nook there. So e-readers have really been predominantly formulating in the year 2010 a lot of relationships with stores and big retail chains to get their e-readers sold there. In most of Europe, you can't get an e-reader at a local store. You really have to order it online. Although, if you do live in Australia, New Zealand, if you deal with some of the bigger book companies there, you can actually get the Kobo e-reader there pretty easily. But I mean, that's Australia and New Zealand are pretty small if you consider how immense Europe is, and then the immensity of Asia, India, a lot of high population markets there that really don't have access to the e-reader. So with that being said, and more or less the reason why I got into that little bit of tirade is just because the Acer Lumen Read, with that entry-level price, it's not really going to be, in my opinion, too competitive in the North American market. It might do better in Europe and overseas. Now, some of the other tablets that we've had a look on here is the Neofony WeTab. This has been, again, a tablet that we've been tracking for the better part of 2010. It is made by an actual Berlin company, and it actually runs a MeeGo version of Linux. Now, you're looking at 11.6 inches, which is one of the largest tablets out there. Multi-capacitive touchscreen, which means you can tap with both hands and everything's very responsive. The resolution is actually one of the highest in the biz. You're looking at 1366 by 780 as far as pixel resolution goes. It has HDMI, two USB ports. It also has a 1.3 megabit camera. And you can do Wi-Fi on this as well as Bluetooth. If you want to know more or less what's under the hood, it's running at a 1.66 gigahertz Intel Atom N450 processor. And it'll basically be able to run on any operating system out there, from Windows to Linux to Android or even OS X in most extreme cases. Pretty well, the reports and videos that we've seen here at the conference, it's only being done on Linux right now, or MeeGo, which is an operating system that these guys have developed along with a lot of partners like Intel and such. So we have a lot of pictures and videos of this, so you can check that out. It actually doesn't look too bad. The WePad we've talked about on earlier editions of the radio show, so you can go back to our back catalog to see full reports of it, as well as we've done full reviews on this. So if you want to find out more about the RAM and all those little things underneath the hood, as well as get a ton of pictures of the graphical user interface, basically WePad has partnered with a lot of magazines across Europe to get their content on it. And basically WePad is going to be partnering up with a lot of content distributors. And so if you're a WePad owner, you don't just have to buy things directly from the company, but WePad will actually facilitate relationships between newspapers, magazines, content developers, and so they'll actually serve as basically a large portal from you using the WePad to purchasing content from other providers. So the WePad actually makes it very easy. And again, it's pretty well one of the largest screens available in the marketplace right now. It looks really slick from looking at it. We know that they've been working on this since really late last year. So it's really come a long way from the models we saw at Computex and some of the earlier models that they were showing off, prototypes and things like that, at other conventions across the world. So the Neofony WePad definitely looks like a good investment. But there isn't really no time frame or definitive price on when it'll be shipping or whether this will just turn into vaporware. No one really knows. All we know is that this thing's been in development for almost just under a year, and there's really no price point, no release date yet. So whether it comes out Q1, Q2 of next year, it remains to be seen. But we really aren't holding our breath with this one. It really looks like that for this company, it's make it or break it with this device. And if all else fails, they do have all the relationships that they've already facilitated with other companies. So if anything, Neofony could pretty well make a comfortable living by just doing content distribution for other tablets, running all of these different operating systems, because they already have all their customized software, you know, made for these devices. So who knows, again, if this device will actually come to be, but look out for Neofony in the future to be able to be really good content distributors, whether they're doing it with cloud-based computing or whether they're just basically going to set up a giant portal, you know, for people to be able to do business with a ton of retailers without having to deal with a specific company the whole entire way. One of the other things that we've looked at is the UDigital MX10. This is a 5-inch Android tablet, so it's certainly one of the smaller ones that we've looked at. It's pretty well about the same size as the Dell Streak. You're looking at it's running a Google Android OS, and it's doing about 2.1 as far as the out-of-box version goes, although they will include an upgrade option for the user themselves to do it to 2.2 later on. Internal memory is around 2 to about 16 gigabits, and it'll be increased further with micro SD cards, as well as it has HDMI, so it could do 1080p videos. It does include a standard USB port, but it doesn't come really integrated with any exciting, you know, options. So it doesn't come with, like, a built-in modem. You'll need to connect an external one to do it. So this might be a miss as far as it, you know, a company, again, relying on the Google Android market exclusively for its devices. It's pretty well comparable to the Arcos 43, but in respects, as this really has no internet connectivity at all. So we would probably say to bypass this if you can. If you get offered one for $50 or a friend is going to just give it to you, I would take it. But I don't know if I would actually spend my money on this device. One of the other tablets that we've seen here is the Inoa Interpad. It's an Android tablet PC. We actually reported on this earlier last month. But we get a device in our hands here at IFA, and we get a whole bunch of new specs that we didn't know before. It does 1024 by 600. It's done on a NVIDIA Tegra 2 processor, and so it'll do full HD movies in MPEG-2, H.264, VC/1 formats. You're looking at Google Android 2.2 as being the operating system. It'll have 16 gigabytes of internal storage, HDMI, mini USB, G sensor, about 12-hour battery life. If you're looking at internal processor, you're only looking at about an ARM Cortex A9, which is only about 1 gigahertz. It weighs about 700 grams. Now, one of the things about this device is that the UI was looking extremely unpolished. The icons were even looking, you know, whack in our opinion. The software state is very lacking, but one of the things that we did notice, it does have a phone icon on it, so they might be making a 3G version of this sometime in the future, and so you might want to look at these guys formulating relationships with major telecom providers to be able to get both a voice and data plan on this. You're looking at the Wi-Fi version of this within about a $500 range. It'll be released in the fall. So if you're looking at price points, it's going to pretty well be on par with the Apple iPad and Toshiba Folio 100. So with those brands being more recognizable than Inoa, which probably no one's ever heard of before, you might probably want to spend your money with a well-known company. Certainly when a new company first releases a product, who really knows if these guys will be there for the long term or whether they'll just release a device, you know, maybe sales will be lackluster and then they won't give it any type of thought in the future, although they might come up with a new device, you know, later on down the road. So with this device and the $500 range, we would probably say you'd be better served getting a different tablet PC, such as the Toshiba one that we talked about, the Folio 100, the Apple iPad, or even the Samsung Galaxy Tab. From all the tablets that we've seen at the conference, pretty well the newest ones coming out is the Galaxy Tab and a Toshiba Folio 100. There really isn't any more exciting ones that really have been shown off so far. So if we've learned anything at IFA, it's really those two tablets that really stand out amongst the herd. Although there are a lot of different tablets that have been shown off. We'll cover more in our Goody Reader Week in Review, which we do every week on the blog. So if you're into, you know, reading occasionally, we know a lot of people when they listen to or read tech sites, you don't have time to read every article. I mean, there just isn't that much free time during the day between commuting to work, commuting home, spending time with family or loved ones, and, you know, making time for yourself to geek out to all the new tech. So not everyone's going to get a chance. So we usually do the Goody Reader Week in Review, which basically gives you, out of all the stories that come out on any given week about new e-readers, new specs, new entrants to the market in the realm of tablet and slate computing, we pretty well give it to you straight. We give you a link to the full story as well as a summarization of the story piece. So, you know, if you want to skip a few, read a few, you're totally welcome to do it. We pretty well just do it as a free service in order to basically sum up for busy people exactly what's going on week to week. And if you want to find out what's going on month to month, there's no better time than ever to sign up for the Goody Reader magazine. It's $1.99 for your first issue. We average around 50 pages with no advertising. It's pretty well given to you straight from the world of digital publishing, Slate, tablet PCs, e-readers, e-books, and everything to do with those devices. And as well, if you do have an e-reader or a tablet and Slate PC, you want to get the latest firmware, you want to talk to other users that actually have the same device as you do, check out our Good e-reader forum. Signing up is 100% free, and we pretty well support every e-reader and tablet Slate PC that has been made and that is in currently production. So you can find out all the scoops at our forum. So for Good e-reader and the Good e-reader radio show, this is Marcus, and we've basically concluded our IFA coverage of all of the new tablet and Slate PCs that have been announced. See you later, folks.